Thank you so much for inviting me. I have been here once or twice before, and I see some new faces that I don't remember. And I usually like to learn from you as much as I hope I can share. For humor, since I wrote that, I wrote my introduction that said I would have humor. So I should start with some humor. You need another sheet there? You got enough, Karen, to share? I mean, we're not going to study this. This is just a byproduct. Don't worry. No questions. We're not going to be here for 5 hours on this slide, but I am going to refer to it. George Burns, the comedian. Whoops. George Burns said, "The secret to a good sermon or speech is to have a good beginning and a really good ending and keep them as close together as possible." So that's my claim to fame. Get it out, say it, sit down and listen. So I was born in New York, but my family moved me to Ohio in fourth grade. And then, so I say I'm from Ohio. I met my wife of 47 years in Dallas, Texas, and she's a native of Ohio. And I just asked her to go get our dogs. Thank you, since dogs are allowed. I didn't want my dog out in this heat. And that's my spiritual soul, Abby, my little dog, Abby. So that's, having said that, we'll get into some of the talk. I made this title, Get a Better Idea, because that's really why we're here. I mean, we're growing into something different, or we probably wouldn't be here, right? And everything you have on your spiritual light center is just a beautiful. I totally concur with all of this vision. We are developing to be our highest selves by our spiritual ideas, whatever path they may be. So at this time, I'm always interested in you, what got you here, your path. And the little handout I gave you is kind of a diagram of New Thought teachers. And if the bottom right has a gentleman named Ernest Holmes, who turned out to be my New Thought teacher. How many of you know Ernest Holmes from Science of Mind? Know of him. Okay. So quite a few of you. And he just picked up all the teaching of all the people on the slide before him. And it shows a little bit of the interconnectedness. And I do teach a course on learning about all of these people, because I think they're fascinating. But I will have to say, most other people don't think they're fascinating, so I don't get a lot of people interested in it. But if you're interested, let me know, because I think it is fascinating to see how, you know, the lady who wrote Emma Curtis Hopkins, who she learned from and who she taught. She taught Ernest Holmes. She taught the Fillmores from Unity. She taught Emily Cady. She was very influential, and she was in the middle 1800s. So I just find the wealth of the growth of those people just so fascinating. So having said that, we're going to do a little self-disclosure. You don't have to say anything. You just have to stand up. Okay, now we're going to start with me. If you were raised Roman Catholic, stand up. So we've got Gail and Frank. Welcome. And Steve. Wonderful. You want to tell us how many years you've been away from that? You can tell us that.
How many years away? More than 40 years.
Okay. Frank?
60 years.
60, 50? Yeah. Long time. Me too. Kind of college. Okay. You stay standing, because we should get everybody to join us. So what should be the next Baptist? We should get a darn good crowd. We got Denise and Larry and Nancy. Okay. So, say no more. We know about y'all. We know all about you. I moved here for the weather. Okay, where we go next?
Methodist.
Rebecca, my wife, is Methodist. Robin is our only Methodist. Oh, no, John. Very good. So we've got a few good Methodists, very lovely. What's next? Jewish? Jewish? Okay, very good. You stand alone, my love.
I know.
It's great to have you with us. You could do the next talk and the next and the next. I'm sure you have much to share. Thank you for being here. Okay, Episcopalian? Oh, Carol brings the Episcopalian, which are Catholic light. Catholic light, we call you. You know, you don't have nearly the guilt that the Catholics have. Not nearly. I mean, you are nothing compared to the Catholics and the guilt. Okay, Presbyterian, what's left?
Lutheran.
Thank you. Thank you. Karen, thank you. Okay, here's something. Anybody brought up in one of these New Thought? This is New Thought, spirituality, unity, unity, Unitarian, you. Okay, what are you? Stand up and tell me. What's left?
Christian Science.
Christian Science, wow.
You're so brought up in Christian Science?
My grandmother.
Oh. Wow, very interesting.
My grandmother too.
Very good. Okay, very good. Lovely.
You're fairly progressive.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Good to know. Thank you. Who else?
Salvation Army.
Thank you. You know, did you know the comedian, the guy that just retired, the one that moved to England was Salvation Army? James Cork? Yeah. He was brought up Salvation Army. And he said it was normal to dress up in and run down the street with a bell and wear a uniform.
Tambourine.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm no longer there. My whole family is still very much there. We were soldiers in God's army.
With a twist of nice uniform and
nice uniform
music. Yeah.
Our own 10 commandments.
Very good. Thank you for now, who knew that? You know, that you don't mean many of them.
No.
Well,
no.
What is your name?
PJ.
Oh, that's right. You're the PJ I met. Okay, thank you. Okay, what's left?
Assembly of God.
What is it? Assembly of God?
Pentecostal.
Okay, you need to be up here teaching us and helping us, Sherry. Darcy?
Darby?
I was raised. Okay. You can learn a lot. Yeah, stand up, stand up. We all stand up. You, sir?
Jehovah's Witness.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you all. You may sit. Please sit. Thank you. It's good to learn from all of you. So that what brings you here is the journey to learn something new. So and to grow in our spirituality. Yeah. You don't have a lot of choices here, but I'm hoping that sounds like you found a nice home. 15 years, you can't beat that. Okay, so talk today is get a new thought, get a new idea, and I'm also going to merge that with another talk I've given, which is be your authentic self, because I think they go together. You know, be your authentic self, be your real self. If I'd stayed in the Catholicism, I don't think I would have been as flourishing in my life. Is that a nice way to say it? Okay, yeah. And this
Authentic self,
right. I was talking to Robin, and I said, well, why do you like the spiritual center? And he said, well, because I never really fit in, if I may share that. That's kind of how I felt. I just didn't fit in. Every Sunday, we'd have to go march off. The Daly family, two older brothers, myself, we'd always get the donuts afterwards. That was the highlight. But I just was like, I don't get this. I don't get this. And it just didn't. But boy, the first time I went into one of these congregations, one of these fellowships, which happened to be in Atlanta, it just hit me right away. And Rebecca and I were the same. We're like, we have found our home. Because their teaching is about accountability and unity and openness, just like you said here. It's about what I think I can create. Oh, wow. What I think in my mind I can manifest. Now, I have to put the work in, but it can happen. I can change this situation. I got rid of the idea that I was born. See, I never understood how I was responsible for the original sin that was on my heart when I was born. I just didn't get that. I was like, that doesn't make sense. And that I cried at night over the babies in limbo. I was like, how could the baby be in limbo and not see God? It just bothered me. And my mother would say, oh, don't pay any attention to that. So I thought, well, why are we going if I don't pay any attention to it? Well, because we're Catholic. And that's what we do. And Laura Katowski was my best friend. And we would eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on the driveway together and milk. And Mom would, and I said, I love Laura, but she's going directly to hell. She's a Protestant. And my mother would say, don't believe that. So it was kind of this duality of, you know, don't believe that. Shit, Laura's fine. And so it was, I just, but, yeah. So that's why this means so much to me. There's so much goodness from these people who have brought us to New Thought, which is, of course, not New Thought. It's been around on my flyer way back to Aristotle and Plato. They came up with the ideas. And then these fine people carried on with it. So, that brings me to watching YouTubes, because we all do. Well, I do. I watch it on my phone. And there's this man who interviews, he mostly interviews older people. When I say older, 60s, 70s, you know, that. And I'm okay, I'm older. So he says, and he has this microphone and he interviews them. And he's made a business out of it. His name is Will Rossi. He interviews strangers in the street all over the world, and he's made a business out of it. He's got like a couple, 2 million followers in 200 countries. And his mission is the same one we have here. It's to explore what it truly means to live a fulfilling life and to inspire others to live meaningful. So that's what he says on his website. And his website is spelled Sprout, but it's pronounced Sprout, but it's not spelled that way. But if you need to know, I'll tell you. So he goes up to people, and he goes up to mostly older people. And he says, he asks them, it's kind of funny because they actually answer him, which, you know, the first question he says is, hi, how old are you? And, you know, everybody on the videos have answered. I'm sure a lot of people said, I'm not going to answer, but a lot of people answer. So he says, how old are you? So that's the first question. And they'll say, 78, and or whatever. And then he has the same questions he asks everybody. He has an order. Well, would you like to be another age? Some people say yes. Some people say no. What do you think the majority say? The majority actually say no. I don't know what you would say. I don't know what I would say. Probably no. It's just because it took so much work to get here. So if you go back to that age, you're going to have to do all that work again. So I don't know, but that's irrelevant. So then he says, the big question is, what would you say to your younger self, Mr. 68, 78, 82, 91, and couples, and almost all of them say the same thing. I would have not worried what other people think. I would have been more true to myself. And nobody says anything. I mean, some of them might say work less, you know, but that's kind of in the same venue. So I thought that was fascinating. So it ties into me, about being your true self. Now, people who meet me now say, you probably have always been your true self. But that's not, you know, obviously not, because, you know, I was brought up pretty much tapped down. You know, we don't need to hear that from you. And my name is Dee, but my family called me Dee Dee. So it was always Dee Dee. And I've always had kind of a loud voice. And we lived in a ranch house. And I always had a lot of opinions. And I remember my mother saying, this is a ranch house, not an auditorium. We need to hear less from you. Less from you. And I had two older brothers, and they were smart enough, but I was smarter. And my mother would be like, we got to get those two boys off to college, and you just stay home and get married and have children. And I thought, oh, that doesn't sound right. You know, that doesn't sound right to me. But I grew up in that era of that's what they expected. Well, by the way, you know, I rewrote the script that Mom and Dad had for me. Very lovely people, but, you know, I just did not get married to a man. And I did get to go to college and had a nice career. So I did break through it, but it wasn't easy. So it wasn't always that way. So the challenge was being raised in the 1950s, because I know I don't look 108, but I am. And so I was raised in this era of, you know, tapping down me. And many of us were, whether you're female or male, I mean, whatever it is, you know, Pentecostal, be this way. Baptist, be this way. So we're on this journey of moving through that, breaking out of traditional roles. Now, I can think of myself, and I'm going to bring up, some of you may know this TV show. We're going to go way back to the 1950s. And I'm in Ohio, west side of Cleveland, in a small village, on Lake Erie, and in the ranch house. And it's summertime, and the kids and mom are watching television in the afternoon. Every afternoon, we watch this one show. So we're on the sofa, Don Daly, Dick Daly, me, Dee Dee Daly. We're watching this show. Every day we watch it because we love it. And it is just the opposite of what we teach. It's a show about, I have no control over my future. I have no control over anything. I can't even think a thought to manifest it. And the show was called Queen for a Day. Who remembers it? All right, what can you tell me about it? What do you remember?
Right. to the queen.
So you have three women competing, and they are telling their miserable life story, right? It was just how miserable it is. I'm living with my in-laws, they hate me. My husband's in prison. My children cannot read or write. We don't have a car that works. And they're like, okay, contestant Judy, thank you. Now contestant Mary. And then she comes in with her tale of woe. And then contestant Susie speaks. And then all of a sudden, they do the applause meter who had the worst story. The most, and then they give a washer and dryer and sometimes a large GE freezer. And I'm thinking, they don't have a big house. They might not even have a house. Sometimes they got a fur coat. Sometimes they got a trip to Palm Springs. And I'm sitting there, and I knew then I must have been a new thought thinker. Because I was thinking, she doesn't need a freezer. She doesn't need a washer and dryer. She needs a new idea. She needs to understand there's a different way to approach life. Whatever it is, she's got to take control of her life and be accountable, because once she gets home with the washer and the dryer, the kids are still not going to have the right shoes, and she's still not going to be dealing with her in-laws. She is not manifesting progress in any way, and that is how we were brought up. And I'm just delighted that all of us have come through all that. And we've moved into a teaching of positivism, a teaching of optimism, and we've learned about the power of the universe. We've learned about, if you have an idea, it's put in your brain. And if you focus on that idea, it's out there in whatever you want to call it, a universe, God, spirit. I know I was giving this talk during the Super Bowl, and I said, Taylor Swift, it could be Sarah, you know, give it up to Taylor Swift. Everybody loves Taylor Swift. I mean, somewhere out there, it can be manifested. You don't have to be woe me, and go on television and get a queen for a day. You can take charge. And this thought you have, it could come to you. It could come to you in the shower. It could come to you when I sat on that sofa watching that show thinking, this just isn't right. This lady needs to take some responsibility. And there's got to be something and teach me about that. Now, I didn't get to New Thought till I was almost 30, But when I got to it, I was like, I'm going to study this. I'm going to learn about it. I'm going to do my very best to put forth a thinking that will make me happy and successful. And so it's about, it's not about just sitting. It's about doing. So Rebecca and I love the story of my friend Pam. Pam and I worked together many years ago, and she had just gotten divorced from Charlie, and she was 29 years old. And she was in the business world, and she was a project manager. So project managers are like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, they get things done in a very efficient manner. So she tells me, yeah, I'm divorcing Charlie. I mean, this is not going anywhere. I don't want to have children with Charlie, but I want to have children. So I'm like, okay, great. So she says, I have a plan. And her plan was to go on the internet. This was years ago, but she met a guy on the internet, and she met a couple guys. One guy came to her house. She got dressed up, and she goes down. They're going to go to dinner. They talked a few times. So he picks her up, and she walks out, and he goes to his side of the door and doesn't open the door for her. So Pam very efficiently said, you know, what's his name? This isn't going to work. I mean, this is our first date. I mean, I think you should, I'm trying to impress you. I dressed up a little. You didn't even open the door for me. So I'll tell you what, it's going to save you money. We don't need to go to dinner. It's going to save me time. I'm going to go back into my house and enjoy the evening. So she just, I said, what did he say? She said, well, you know, what could he say? She said, I'm not wasting my time. I'm putting energy into this. I know the right man is out there for me, but I have to do the work. And so then eventually she meets Alan. She meets Alan. And they live in Tennessee, and they have two grown teenage boys now. I mean, she put it into motion. And that's what we have to do. It's not just about our thought, and it's going to happen. We have to be willing to take responsibility to put it into motion. And so that is what, you know, is all about a new thought. It's all about being our authentic selves. And it's all about realizing that in the world, there has to be some compromise and there has to be some changes, but we have to understand that we have the ability to do it. So in wrapping up, I'm going to tell you a little story that has to do with flexibility, and you'll figure it out. I'm going to read it to you. There's a guy from Purdue Foods, and he goes to visit the Pope. He gets the blessing. This Catholic person. And Your Eminence, we have a deal for you, he says to the Pope. If you change the Lord's Prayer from give us this day our daily bread to give us this day our daily chicken, we will donate $5 million to the church. The Pope responds, that's just not possible. We can't change it, no way. Well, the Purdue man says, we're prepared. No, we're going to up it. We're going to give you more than $500 million. We're going to give you $1 billion. And just please change it from give us this day our daily bread to give us this day our daily chicken. Again, the Pope replies, I just can't do it. I mean, we can't change the word of the God. Finally, the Purdue guy says, this is our last offer. We will donate $5 billion if you change the Lord's Prayer to give us this day our daily chicken. Because remember, the man is from Purdue Chicken. And he leaves. The next day, the Pope meets with the College of Cardinals. And he says, the good news is, the church has just come into $5 billion. The bad news is we are losing the Wonder Bread account.